Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. I'm Guy. That's John. We are live on YouTube on February Thursday morning. We're the week before the week of the Super Bowl. I realized something, but John, a Tito's toast. Brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. To Tom Brady Sr.
What did he do?
Now's the time to talk to the Boston Globe. You know, Tom, it's all, the story's always that, like, Tom Brady Sr. sometimes had to talk less than Tom Brady Sr. would have liked to talk publicly. But there was this article in the Globe in which he gave Belichick a ton of credit, said this is, you know, it's BS the way they're treating Bill, as if he couldn't have done it, as if Tom could have done it without him. You know, look at where that franchise is without Bill. And then he added, Bill's tough. He runs a military system. It's a different generation. Bill is a great, great, great coach, but his interpersonal skills are horrible. That's the bottom line.
I played golf yesterday with this guy who's probably about 70 years old. He was 69. He said he turned 70 soon. And he was just, he was a business owner, very successful guy, owns Culligan Water throughout the South and the Midwest.
All right.
Like the Southwest Midwest. And he had a lot of takes on just the younger generation, because where he grew up, you know, whether it was parenting or leadership, it wasn't about holding your hand, you know, and tickling your taint to get you to smile here. But he said it's inevitable now in 2024, your workforce is not all going to be my age, especially your younger, quote unquote, cheaper workers are going to be tend to be, you know, in that 25 to 40 range. So you got to treat them a little differently. And he said it was hard for me. That's why I hired my daughter, this valedictorian, went to Oklahoma, swimmer, very successful person. She can handle it better, but it's like, it's a skill. So I like, if you think about it, like, Tom's 45, you know, so dealing with Tom, his generation, Tom went to college in the mid 90s. What the hell does he have in common with the dude that just graduated
Lloyd
Alabama?
Carr.
Yeah, in 2023.
Well, he might have something in common with the dude from Saban's program, maybe a little
bit. That's a bad example. Lincoln Riley, whatever. But I do think if you've noticed these Patriot guys, kind of offended almost, because now it feels like shitting on Belichick, which is in a weird way shitting on them and their operation. Like, fuck you guys. Like, you know, we kicked everyone's ass. And I think it's kind of gone the other way, where if you think about Tom Brady Sr., you kind of got to support, because if Belichick is just the village idiot, it discredits a little bit, just like, I don't know, one of the greatest operations we've ever seen in human history, right? So Edelman, I've seen some of these guys clap back. Even Brady has gone full support, because you are in the boat for those 20 years. Like, he was part of the group.
Yeah.
And now it's like they're hiring Dan Quinn and Mike McDonald over him. You're like, those guys got to be like, this is nuts.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it was a bad interview, John. Maybe it was just a bad interview for Bill. Or maybe Bill doesn't want to be what he has to be for these people to hire him, right?
How could Belichick walk into an interview at 72 years old with, let's just say, literally $100+ million in the bank / stocks or whatever, on top of money that he has other places, and play the politician role that all these coaches are playing in interview? It would be hard.
Well, he's
even Vrabel's really rich. It would be difficult if you're Mike Vrabel to sit there and like just kiss ass. I think.
Yeah, I mean, Bill is the ultimate. He's earned the right to say my way or the highway. And as long as he's willing not to coach NFL football, then he can say it, right? Like, to what degree does, and he may not want to coach it somebody else's way. And that's not, to me, even about the workforce, which is a legitimate point by you. It's about, like, the owners and the GMs. And, like, the irony of this whole thing is when you're interviewing with people, they are the ones with the power you're trying to get, right?
If exactly. You're interviewing, like, with a general manager. I would push back and go, Bill, at this point in time, like, is anyone want you to be the grand poobah, do everything? Like, maybe change your tune a little bit on the GM. But, like, my coaching downfalls would be a hard one for me if I'm Bill. And I think he's always taken a lot of pride in, like, a couple of years ago, remember, he's like, we've had it pretty good around here for a long time. The GM, hey, Bill, you need some help. That, to me, that's a valid question. I don't care. Warren Buffett probably has some deficiencies. But I could understand the coaching. Like, hey, Terry Fontenot over here, this GM who's been here for 3 years, averaged 7 wins a season, has some thoughts on your philosophical beliefs on defense.
Like, I did a study.
that's where I could see him being like, guys, I'm leaving. I'm walking out.
How about the story that did you read the Athletic article on the Jets?
I was just in the old restroom with the iPad, and I read the breakdown of the highlights of it, like when the Zach Wilson leaked that he didn't want to start or whatever late in the season, and Saleh gathered the group, screamed, threatened to take phones, and said, if you come clean right, this is a great like father move.
So good.
If you come clean right now, you won't be in trouble. But if I catch you lying a day later, there'll be hell to pay. I don't even know if you're allowed to say that in society in 2024 to your children, but that was a lot to me. Yeah. And Robert, I can imagine people in that room had to be thinking like, should I get a job somewhere else? Because I don't know if this is going far.
Yeah, the OC, Paul Hackett's son, Nathaniel Hackett, gets skewered in the piece, just like not a good communicator, not ready, not like, you know, doesn't meet with the rest of the offensive staff to the last minute for the game plan. Zach Wilson thought he was going to have an open line to Aaron and then like never hears from him. and then the one that
he was in LA, you know, doing Dolphins
at one point, and this is where you know it's going bad, John, because the coach has big responsibilities. Saleh does a study himself of great quarterbacks and coaches, and it's like Belichick's record without Brady, you know, I don't know, Sean Payton's record without Breeze. Like, he's like, look, without Rodgers, what do you expect from me? Which is, I do think, not completely illegitimate, but like, I just, the idea
he played
of
Saleh, 5 snaps for the guy.
The idea of Saleh on footballreference.com going like, all right, Breeze, 03 to 19. So Peyton, his record is minus 33 from 109. You know, it's just bad situation. Bad situation.
I somehow I get on rabbit holes. If you follow a couple people like on Instagram in the golf industry, there's a really small, feels like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, where you could be just in two pictures scrolling through of like him with Phil Mickelson or him with the CEO of Accenture or just whatever. And I was scrolling through this one guy who has like, I don't know if he's a VP at TaylorMade or he's Rory's. I don't know what his role is, but I was just scrolling. He had some cool picks. That's part of it, right? He's at these cool golf courses. And I come on a picture. It's Pebble Beach 18 with the backdrop of the water. 4 guys. Billy, Jimmy, and Willie, all VPs and CEOs. And then with a huge smile. Now it's 4 years ago. Looking jacked, tan, Saleh. You know, so
Woody opened some doors. Jets opened some doors. Hey, I don't want to keep that job. I don't want to keep that job. We always
heard.
Too.
Remember, we heard. Were you there when he goes to courses and like does their ratings or something?
Was that a Bob Lang story?
I thought like he's like an elite golfer.
You know, he's like a secret. He's like a secret shopper or whatever.
Wait, no, you send him to whatever country club X.
Yeah.
And he plays it, and that like 125 when you turn in your handicap, like he adjusts that as that was like his side gig. I don't know, while he was an NFL coach, which seems a little crazy to me.
Yeah, not necessarily what you look for in the interview.
NFL coach, 7 kids, side gig, golf guy? Like that's a lot going on.
Was that once upon a time a Colin take? Like, if golf is one of your hobbies, I don't want you as my football coach. But like, I don't want a good golfer. But now some of these guys are naturally just good golfers. I get it.
I push back on that. I think it's hard when you're not like Colin's not a country club guy. So he hangs out at these other clubs. Like some people. Now, Romo plays a lot of golf, and that might be part of it. But a lot of people just, like, that's where they go to get out of the house. Some people just go hang out at the gym. Like, some people just go to hang out. A lot of people just hang out at the office. People just like getting out of the house.
Right.
You know? So it's I push back on that a little bit. There's some validity.
Well, I was watching the No Laying Up live stream from Pebble the other day, and they were like, Josh Allen was hitting on the course as they were talking, and the guy, one of them comes over. He's like, I just saw Josh Allen warming up. He's like, that was a scene. It's like, flubbed a 56, hit a 7-iron, 7 grooves too low. You know, like, that's what, you know, it's like, he's probably, his base level without practicing is probably pretty damn good, but it's not. I mean, they finally wised up on Turner and they're putting real golfers on that thing this year.
But is he a good example, like him and watching Mahomes in the match shaking all over the place? Kelce, like, does anyone feel like golf, who all those guys, Josh, he quits the Pro Bowl, which isn't anything now, but like refuses under no circumstance will go to the Pro Bowl if Pebble is that weak. He's turned it down like three straight years to play with Keith Mitchell. He's not playing with Phil or Tiger. Keith Mitchell is his guy. But no one goes, oh, it's taken away from him beating the Chiefs. Right.
Right.
But he literally can't play. Now he can't play in Buffalo.
He's a natural, right? I just want to go, you know, I think the line of delineation is like, are you a two handicap because you're just a natural, or are you a two because you're grinding 3 days a week at the range?
Did you see they asked, you have to put your home club on the Pebble thing? Did you see what Aaron Rodgers put?
No, I didn't. What did he put?
Three Jack National.
The fuck is Three Jack National?
It's just this guy online. It's made it up. You know, I three putt a lot. Like, he's made up a club. Like, he doesn't have one, you know? Tom Brady, you got to put your occupation too. You know, for the quarterbacks, Facebook. Right. Tom Brady wrote CEO.
That's good.
That is, but it's like, Tom, just.
Of Brady brand.
To me, what would have been funny if he would have wrote unemployed quarterback or something. Like, Rodgers is having fun with it.
Yeah, yeah. I love, you see that a lot on the internet where somebody's like a CEO. It's like, oh, who's in the company? Well, just me. I'm a CEO of Prestige Worldwide. So, John, it's Thursday morning. By the time someone's watching this or listening to this, Thursday midday, Cam Newton's in the news. My favorite part of every Cam Newton Brock Purdy breakdown is just how he says Brock Purdy, and that Cam has realized what everybody else in the media already knew. And what players realize when they transition from being players to being in the media is that some things are good content and you should keep doing those things. So he said today that, and I had the video, but I'm afraid it'll make the thing crash, that Brock is, I could try and play it. Let's see. Just because it's so much better in his voice. That's the thing. If I'm just repeating quotes, then let's see if this works.
Never said that Brock Purdy was trash. What I did say is Brock Purdy is a game manager. That's not hate. That's just what I feel to be facts.
There guy goes. Broke him down. I'm personally pretty tired of Cam Newton, but his outfits are funny. No one wears the hat with the straight cowboy flat better than Cam. It's a pretty good look. I like it.
All right, that's enough of that there. But.
I do think no one right now wears that kind of flat hat. Cam is elegant, might be the wrong word, but
I don't think it's the wrong word.
He does pull it off. I'll give him that. He pulls it off.
I think you might be right. I think Cam's elegant.
He does pull it off. So I was thinking about this yesterday, that if you were a guy like Cam, right, your defining moment professionally, I guess his probably defining moment as a football player, I mean, his greatest moment was, I don't know, go to Auburn for 1 year and lead them to a national championship. Like, it's hard. That's better than anything he did in the pros. And he had a good pro career, obviously, went to a Super Bowl. I was at the Super Bowl and it was pretty embarrassing. Now it was good. I had at the time, like, as much money as I could scrap up, probably like $1,800, and put it all on the Denver Broncos.
Good pick.
But he was bad. And remember that moment, there was after the game when he was interviewing in Levi Stadium and he was like sitting there and talking about not going after the fumble. His highlight of his career was leading a team to a Super Bowl. Like, and it's a big deal, right? I don't care whether you're Mahomes or, you know, Trent Dilfer, being like, I was a starting quarterback on a team that got to the Super Bowl. Like, it doesn't get that much better than that professionally in football. And Purdy's already done it. So I was thinking about all these guys that try to discredit him. And discredit's the wrong word, but just have the negative slight. When it's like, guys, he's an $850,000 pick 262 who's starting on a team, and he's been the starting quarterback for 4 playoff wins in 2 years. It's unheard of. It's unprecedented, given his draft status, for what's going on. It will probably, the likelihood of ever seeing it again is slim to none. But think how many guys like former players, good players, right? Guys that like started in the league for years, guys that were higher draft picks, made the playoffs like one time in 7 years or a couple times and never won a playoff game. Like, that's a lot. Think about like great players of the last like decade, like JJ Watts and stuff that never had any, didn't do anything in the playoffs. It's not their fault, but they're like team kind of sucked.
Joe Thomas. Did you say Joe Thomas?
Yeah. He's a good, he never even made it. Right. I mean, think about some of these guys that look, and this guy who's, you know, as the guy said in Rudy, you're 5 foot nothing. You're 150 pounds of nothing. You know, he's just kind of, to them, to most NFL players, Purdy's tiny. Even that video that kind of went viral of Bosa talking to him like, bro, how are you? How the fuck is this happening? Like, this guy is like the number one high school recruit, goes to Ohio State, the number one pick in the draft is like a sophomore playing with the best of the best. He's like, how are you doing this? You know? And he's no dummy. Like, no matter how good you are at all these other positions, your quarterback has to function in modern day football. Like, you can't circumvent the quarterback like you could when we were younger, right? Like, and just get away with Trent Dilfer, because the defenses are never going to be that good again. So you can't just have a, you know, it's borderline impossible to be good with the 24th best quarterback. Like, even Jimmy in 19 was, you know, what, the 13th or best quarterback in the league. You know, he's top 15 quarterback for sure that year. The other years closer to the middle of the pack, and they were holding on for dear life. Like, they had to get some serious luck. Like, this guy's clearly been a fringe, you know, top 7-8 quarterback this year, right? Throughout the course of the aggregate of the season, right? So is Dak. You get bad games, right? You not every game's perfect, but I think it makes a lot of guys bitter. I really do. Because this isn't about like the money. A lot of these guys are rich. A lot of these guys got fame. But it's just like they know that level is, you work your entire career to get to the opportunity to get to these spots. And this guy's just in these spots nonstop now.
I got to take, it's like a debate. I got to take notes. There's like three things you said I want to react to. One, I was talking to our boy Ethan Strauss the other day. And I was like, you know, coaches always say it's about the Jimmys and the Joes. It's about the players. But if you ask players, they're always like, all I need is a coach to put me in position to be my best, right? Like, a coach can either elevate them or hold them back. And I think that's part of it for players too. It's like, man, I wish, I don't know if Cam would say this, RG3 would try to talk him out of it, but like, I wish I could have played in one place on a team this talented, right? With all these guys around me, where Cam kind of, he had a really good
team. He did it, but he
had good players around him. But I'm just saying, like, I think that's part of it for a lot of guys that feel like they didn't get to be their best. And this guy's only doing this because he gets to be the best version of himself. The first thing you said about playing in this position, I think it's probably one of the reasons Alex seems to really respect Brock. Alex played, I'm just looking right now, Alex Smith played in 7 playoff games, which is actually a little more than I expected. He made the playoffs 4 different years with Kansas City. I forget like how long he was Kansas City's quarterback. He was 2-5 in the postseason. Alex Smith never won 2 games in the same postseason. I think he's a good example of somebody who like understands how tough it is. I don't know if you saw his clip last week where he's like, as the official president of the game management club, I'm here to say Brock is not in our club.
Yeah.
I thought that was really telling, you know. I think Brock's age is a part of this. Like, you, if Brock is this guy year 7, it's a different conversation. But is this guy year 2? This guy year 2 is just doesn't exist most years. So
I mean, I looking at Cam's MVP season in 2015, the run game, Jonathan Stewart and Mike Tolbert were a really dominant little run background, especially with Cam. But like, Ted Ginn was their second best wide receiver.
Who is their number one receiver? Musin Muhammad?
Greg Olsen.
Oh, a tight end. Okay.
Who was a really good, I mean, 77 catches, 1,100 yards, 7 times. I mean, Greg Olsen was a really good player.
And their defense was loaded, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Thomas Jones and.
Keekly's and, yeah, they were good. Keekly, Thomas Davis.
Thomas Davis.
Josh Norman was, you know, not the 49er version back then. They had Roman Harper, who the SEC Network guy, was a really good player. I remember watching him, Charles Tillman. I mean, they had good players. The defense was loaded. Sean McDermott was their defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
In Cam's, like, one valid point of Cam, which is, I don't know if he, I didn't watch the whole clip that was going viral because I couldn't make it past like 20 seconds. Neither he's not wrong. Of, like on my team that went 15-1 and went to the NFC or the Super Bowl, I was the best player on, especially on offense. You could say him and Luke Kuechly, right? But like I was, and I, you know, I was the best player. And he's not wrong. Like Brock Purdy is not the best player on the 49ers offense. His Brock Purdy would tell you that. He already has. I mean, he said, I'm not even the MVP of my own team. Right. But yeah, I mean, you can't function without, you can't get to this point in this level of football without good quarterback play. It's just impossible. Look at all the quarterbacks. I mean, one reason the Eagles kind of crumbled is like Jalen kind of wasn't that good. One reason the Lions made a lot of noise, like Jared Goff was pretty good, right? Look at the why the Packers really come on, because Jordan Love was kind of balling.
Yeah, like
you got to have a good quarterback play in 2024. It's impossible not to, or your quarterback has to make plays like Purdy did, definitely with his legs.
Do you remember Trevor Moad? He's like, oh, sorry, what were you gonna say?
Yeah, no, sorry, go.
No, Trevor Moad, he died a couple years ago, but he was like Russell Wilson's mental performance coach.
And he wrote, the guy that passed, the guy that people in Seattle think that his career kind of fell off once that guy passed away.
Yeah. And he wrote a book, which I've read the cover, and the title of the book is It Takes What It Takes. And I think it's a great quote. Like, it takes what it takes, right? And here are the 49ers. They're in the Super Bowl, and it takes what it takes. What it takes for this team is McCaffrey, Trent Williams, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, Debo, Kittle, Ward, Greenlaw, Ayuk, Purdy. Go look at every team that wins a championship. They've got a really crowded top 10 list of best players. Now, his argument is this guy, you know, Brock can't be a certain type of guy if he's not the number one guy on the list. But it really, and I think one of the reasons you probably hate this topic, same reason I don't hate the topic. If it wasn't Cam saying, I'm interested because Cam said it. But it doesn't really matter where Brock Purdy is on the list at all. All that matters is he's got a chance to beat Patrick Mahomes in a week, and they can't beat Patrick Mahomes if Brock Purdy doesn't play a good football game. Like, it can't be done. And if he does it, they win a Super Bowl. Something they haven't done since Steve Young did as the starting quarterback one time.
I just feel like this topic is, it happens sometimes in golf when you have extra holes with two guys. And you don't just like, well, let's just start playing random holes. You just play the same hole over and over. It's like, we're just going back to 18. And when they do it, like, and they just keep both getting pars or birdie in the same time, and they play it seven straight times, you're like, we got to mix it. Go to a different hole. Like, can we just go to, like, instead of 18, go to 14? I can't fucking watch the same hole, these same shots. I can't do it anymore. And I've done it before. I remember at TPC, Cantlay and Scheffler a couple years ago, went for like five straight times on hole 18. And it's like, they're hitting it to the same spot. They're both getting it. It's like, this is so repetitive. And that's what I feel like the Purdy thing is, just the repetitive nature of it, which it's not going to end. But I do think it gets worse if he loses. If the Niners lose, even if he plays well, it's going to get accelerated. If he wins, it will not die either. But you'll just always have Super Bowl champion.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because this is what I said the other day, and I want to know if you agree with this, because I think if he wins, I don't think it dies down either, because I people say like, all right, well, let's see him do it when he gets expensive. Like, it doesn't end, these arguments don't end in like a game. My argument is that if you went through,
Steph Curry had to literally, the only way to shut people up was like 10 years later, carry a fucking team that even Draymond admitted on his podcast, which is back and like doing like three a week right now, that he's like, it's crazy, but he needed that moment to carry in a team that clearly wasn't as good as the previous teams. He was already like one of the greatest players we'd ever seen. Everyone's like, I can't say anything at this point. That was Steph Curry.
It took Brady winning like two more than Montana.
Yeah, like 28-3, I guess. Yeah, fuck, he's got to be the guy now.
Part of it is you have to make the argument painful to counter argue. It's like, I don't want seven people to pile on. My argument is that the people who think the pro-Purdy people, the evangelicals, like on the extreme end of the pro-Purdy, and the haters, if they're the two ends of the spectrum, I think the evangelicals started this. I think they're the ones that started this. Nobody starts out by going like, I hate the guy drafted last. It's not until somebody tries to tell you that guy is great that then you go, well, I mean, come on, not great, right? So I think the evangelical started this, which is why I don't think the Niners winning a Super Bowl ends it, because I think it will only make that side of the argument emboldened. So I think it'll piss the other people off even more, you know, because McCaffrey will go for like 120. Debo will have a touchdown. You know, Moody will hit 6 field goals. You know, all these things will happen because that's what has to happen to win a championship.
I think human nature is for people to dislike others that are more successful than them. And I think what makes these arguments unique with the former players is like they're all pretty successful, like to get to this level. I say it all the time. Like, I'm always actually more comfortable the older I get being more critical with coaches than I am the players. Like, some of these guys are like 23. It's like, yeah, they fucking like Gibbs fumbled the ball. You think he meant to fumble the ball? He went the wrong way. Like, shit,
I blame them for. Sorry, I'll wait to follow up on
my,
that.
My point is, there are elements of guys getting handed stuff as players. Trey Lance was handed the starting job. He didn't earn it, right? But he was handed it because of the of what they had to pay to get him, right? When I sign, if Hargrave had had a bad training camp, he's still starting for the 49ers come week one. Like, you are handed stuff financially, or once the financials are determined or draft status is determined. But over the course of time as a player, it's impossible if you're the number one overall pick for Jamarcus Russell to be a 10-year starter if he sucks. Impossible. What Derek Carr accomplished is almost unheard of, right? Never really makes the playoffs, makes a lot of money, but somehow just keeps his starting job. Like, that is very rare. Usually you just get replaced or traded or moved or whatever. In coaching, like, it's about truly a lot like most humans' jobs, who you know. So there are a lot of coaches in the sport of football in prominent roles, coordinator jobs that probably shouldn't have them. Or that aren't as good and other guys should have.
Or maybe shouldn't get a second chance, right?
100%. And once you get in that mix of like, this guy's a coordinator, and then they just stay in it. Now, there are also a lot of very qualified guys. You know, Ben Johnson, Mike McDonald, two coordinators, clearly are elite, right? Now we'll find out if Mike McDonald's a good coordinator, but or a good head coach, but as a coordinator. But like Purdy, he had to earn his spot. He had opportunities break his way, but then once he got it, he earned it and he kept it. But I do think just a lot of people resent when a guy gets to earn that spot in a better situation.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. Like, look at Jalen Hurts, second round pick. If Jalen had gone to just a way shittier situation, which any time you get drafted past like pick, you know, start going second, third round, like any team can trade up, get you. You never know. It's just as easy to go to the Eagles, the Niners, or the Rams as it is to go to the Carolina Panthers. Could he just be some backup quarter? You know, just opportunity sets everything. Cam Newton's argument is like, I you could have put me anywhere. And he's right. I mean, he's one of the great physical talents of all time. And that's where, like, that's where I think his argument is kind of, or his stance, like, he has a unique perspective, right? Like, Josh Allen's got to be thinking, like, fuck, without me, this team would suck.
You're saying Cam has a unique perspective?
Yeah, but yeah. And he's, you know, with some, like, Josh Allen right now, if you're bullshit with him at AT&T over some beers, if in a moment of just pure, like, honesty, you'd be like, you guys know if you took me off the Buffalo Bills and put in just average quarterback X, that team's winning 4 games.
Well, if you told Josh you could trade him to the Niners right now, would he take that deal or stay in Buffalo?
I mean, I think he would want to get traded to the Niners. Maybe he's been there long enough.
Yeah, all that. But like, yeah, that's what he would prefer. You know, if you said like, no one will blame you, like that whole thing, like it'll be fine. Like, look at Christian, right? Look at Christian.
You know what's
was
weird,
headed
though?
Towards Mike Trout's career, John. And
this
then
is gonna
he became
sound crazy.
Christian McCaffrey this on the Niners. They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And
Of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about ButcherBox for years. High quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham, code HAM. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app, because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game, and I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone. Go to your iPad. Download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert, get outside, enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is going to sound crazy because I do have a lot of respect for Cam, the player, his physical talents. He was pretty inaccurate quarterback. Accuracy was not his strength, right? And toward the end, once he got hurt, his accuracy was like one of the worst you've ever seen. But in his prime, I mean, special, special talent.
What was his MVP or 63%, 62%?
Yeah, I exited out, but I don't think he would have been a great fit, for example, on the Niners. He wouldn't be great in this offense. Well, Kyle, he's not an accurate, no touch. And but Kyle doesn't like doing that.
No.
Right? So that's, we saw Kyle even attempt. Now he is
59.8 his MVP year.
He is infinitely better than Trey. He's one of the great runners of all time. He's probably the best power runner we've ever seen. But he would have been terrible on the Niners because you run Kyle's offense. He tried to adapt and he immediately fucking hated it. And he traded the guy so fast your head spun. So it's like
I did it with Robert, right?
Who?
Robert Griffin.
But he hated that too.
No, I understand. I agree with you.
Yeah. They literally scrapped their offense to run that offense, and he just didn't like it.
When does a team, like teams don't think we want to run that offense, let's find the guy to run that offense for us. Now, sometimes you're drafting number one, and that's the most talented guy, and you want to have him hit the ground running, so you do it. But no team has it. Somebody correct. I don't think any team has ever been like, you know what we want to do? We want to run that Panthers offense. Let's go find the guy to run it for us. They all still prefer somebody who can complete 66% of his passes first and foremost.
I bet if you're talking to the Ravens, this season was obviously it ended really shitty, but they enjoyed being able to transition a little more to a more passing heavy offense. Like they're not as dependent on Lamar running.
Then went too far.
But he's much more accurate than Cam.
Yeah.
So this gets back to like before your computer crashed.
Which time?
The second when you were playing the Cam Newton audio to the people. I did watch the part where Cam goes, he's not the best player on the offense. He didn't even hesitate. He said Christian McCaffrey. Well, why does he say that? Because he played with Christian and he views Christian as kind of an equal. Like this guy's a fucking stud. So he respects Christian as an elite talent. You know, you could be right or wrong, but if I walk in and I'm Whitney Houston or Usher or Justin Timberlake, it's going to take a lot to view someone on my level. Right? It's like, why do you think Justin Timberlake and Chris Stapleton are good buddies? Because all of a sudden he hears this guy, he says, Jesus Christ, right? But if you just ask Justin Timberlake, there are probably people in music over the last decade making a ton of money, but he's not going to be like, yeah, this guy's not on my level, right? And it's no different than Christian McCaffrey, who saw Cam firsthand. This guy's elite, man. To me, that's because you could easily said, like, you could say Debo or Trent Williams. But his experience with Christian and seeing how good the guy was, because early on, Christian was special kind of immediately, and Cam was a quarterback. And I bet Cam goes, if you would have gave me that, Jonathan Stewart was a good player, but imagine if giving Christian McCaffrey to Cam in 2013.
It would have been like Kaepernick in college. Like the two runners. Kaepernick in college, there were three 1,000-yard runners, which had never happened before on the same team. But it would have been a really...
Because Cam goes,
could have done something special.
Because here's, I bet, what Cam would say. Well, I said Greg Olsen, they got Kittle. Imagine if I also had Christian McCaffrey and Debo.
Right.
How much better we would have been.
Yeah.
I guess I respect it coming. I don't necessarily agree, but I do think he has a unique perspective because he's like, I went to a dog shit franchise, and without me, that fucking franchise sucks. When I'm good, and he won't admit his flaws, but flawed player, but an elite talent.
And I've said this from the beginning when the first time he got into this, conversation business with Purdy, I don't play any of this Cam stuff to mock Cam. Like I am interested in Cam Newton's perspective, even if I don't think it's, you know, I think I'm interested in Cam Newton's perspective, period. Right.
Would Cam Newton be the number one pick in the draft this season with Caleb Williams in it?
Knowing what we know about him as a pro, like if you knew he'd be a 60% passer as a career passer, no, 59.9 actually.
But
now, if you're talking about the college prospect that was Cam Newton,
how could you stand the two next to him and not take that guy number one?
Besides
like Andrew Luck, it'd be very, very hard to, like, Cam Newton is just one of those in the history of the, if we just went back like 40 years. I mean, he's the number one pick in 95% of them. I mean, back in the 80s and 90s, accuracy wasn't as important, right? You just look at the accuracy. It was harder.
Yeah, I mean, it was hard. Accuracy was lower. He has some like 1981 accuracy numbers, unfortunately, right? That's the downfall for Cam. But
he's a guy that could have played. Here's another argument I think he would make. You could throw me in the 70s with Mean Joe Green running after me. You know I could physically hang. No one would even debate that.
Right.
And I would say, Cam, you're going to pick on Purdy here, but I think you could pick on a lot of guys. Like the Russell Wilson, there was a sea change in sport of football where a guy that was 6 foot or under, you didn't even talk that long of like, yeah, this guy could be the number one pick. Most of our life would be like, a guy's going to like the fourth round. Every quarterback I've ever met from 2005 before fucking looks like Klay Thompson. They are huge. If you Brock Purdy, if you didn't know anything about football and he just walked in, you wouldn't look twice. If Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, Carson Palmer, and Philip Rivers walked into a restaurant and you didn't know shit about football, you would look immediately. You'd be like, those guys are massive, right?
Well, the quarterbacks from like the 80s and 90s now weigh more in retirement than the offensive linemen who retire now, because those guys immediately lose, you know, like they slim down and they look fantastic. The quarterbacks, to your point, like they're 6'5", they just, their frame holds a lot of weight. You see some of these guys, you wouldn't guess quarterback, you'd guess tight end, right? If you see like Scott Mitchell, is a big dude.
What, like, what, dude. I mean, what do you think Peyton weighs right now? 230, right? 235.
He, I don't think he's added. I don't know if he's added weight. He's probably lost some muscle.
Yeah, 100%. Maybe. Sometimes I just look on the Monday night broadcast at Troy's hands. And Troy's not the Troy's tallest big. Guy. No. I think he's probably 6'3". His hands are huge.
But could Cam have played that the way he played in 1968? You know, he got hurt a lot as it was in 2015, you know, or 16. Can you play? How long can you play that way in any era? In this era, you can't play that way long, right? No matter your size. Yeah.
I think you can play longer running all the time now. I played golf with a guy yesterday who played football at Nebraska in the mid-2000s. Big former
line. Tommy Frazier.
No, but he's just like a started, he said, his junior and senior year. They were solid. It was like Callahan and Solich were his coaches. But he was saying that the craziest part about the sport now, you know, he's lives in the Midwest still, he's a Chiefs fan, is the size of linebackers. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, back in the day, like when I was growing up or when I first got to linebackers would be 255, 260 pounds. Lavon Kirkland, some of these guys, Gary Plummer. I mean, these guys were huge. Ken Norton Jr., they were massive. Just run down the gap and meet Lorenzo Neal or Mike Allstott one on one ISO and the other guy come behind you and make the tackle. It was just collision. You watch Fred and Dre play now, it's like this.
Well, even think about Harbaugh's linebackers.
Yeah, they were kind of the last of a dying breed. Even Bobby Wagner, you could tell, is a bigger guy. You mm-hmm. know, he's and the we were talking like you don't mind a linebacker being 230-ish, 235 pounds. The Chiefs are full of them, and they fly around. Yeah. Ufunga, you can have these like hybrid safety that are kind of linebackers that weigh 220 pounds because the game's much more lateral than it is vertical. You could not be that weight with Lorenzo Neal in his prime coming. He would fucking drive you back 10 yards. He was hitting Kirkland. They were stalemating. But, I mean, these guys – but no one plays that way. So I'm not trying to talk shit about it. It's just the game – Cam's team with him, Jonathan Stewart, and Tolbert. I remember going to a game at Candlestick. Those backs were just
– Well, remember Tolbert killed somebody.
Eric Reed, I think was he knocked Eric Reed? Him out.
Yeah. Mike Tolbert.
Destroyed him.
Yeah. All right. I think we should do every show we do. We should just do like a check-in update. Check in on that. Where are you at on Niners Chiefs as of Thursday, February 1?
You know what I appreciate about injury reports during this time, you know, like playoff games or whatever. You see the highlight from the Warriors game. Lacob invites them all. Kittle shows up, walking around with Claire. They're just like, woo, 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 just doing this. Next day, Kyle's like, yeah, he's day-to-day with the toe, won't practice. Like, what is going on? It's just, but the best part about football, unlike basketball, if this was the NBA, you wouldn't see him beat for 3 weeks. He might miss a playoff game. In football, people are like, what? Just say it's a Veterans Day off or whatever. No, I'm not saying he didn't hurt his toe in previous weeks, but I just saw the guy walking, high-fiving everyone as he's going. Now, there's a difference between walking on a basketball court in tennis shoes than there is running around Justin Reed, but come on. I mean, he's about as likely
to report it, John. You can't get
sued. He's about as likely to miss the Super Bowl as I would be getting the call from John Lynch. Hey, we need an extra body for Super Bowl practice.
John, you still have that jersey number. What number were you?
65.
John, you still got that 65. I may need you to put it on. Aaron Banks gave up 3 pressures last week. No cough. Can you do better? No, I agree. He's not, these guys are in pretty good shape. I mean, I don't know if you saw thing last week where Shanahan, somebody asked him about how tough D'Amador Lenore is. Like, you know, Lenore, like, what a competitor. He's like, yeah, you know, Demo was the guy that got me in trouble his first year here because he posted a practice video of himself jamming a receiver, and we got in trouble for it. But you got to love it, you know, like.
He said, I got fined.
I got fined, yeah. You know, we were texting.
Can you imagine starting a new job and getting the boss fined?
His own money.
Even if it was 20 grand or 10 grand, and being like, how is this guy ever going to look at me the same? And in fairness to Kyle, how could you immediately? Like, you better prove yourself, little buddy. No wonder Ambry Thomas was playing as a rookie and not Lenore.
Kyle's doghouse is funny, though. Like, if you cost him $10,000, but you play hard and make a couple plays, I think he would take that over, you know, loafing and being cost effective.
I think the problem is, as a rookie in an OTAs or whatever, that like rookie minicamp, posting that, you have so much ahead and you're like, I can't believe I'm starting out. Like, what an idiot. I think it was rookie minicamp.
I'm sure when they called him into the office, he probably had no idea why, right?
Probably never crossed his mind. I mean, he's just trying to show like his boys back in college. Not only am I in the NFL, but look at me messing dudes up. They're like, hey, man, this is just a tryout player. That's not Debo. But in fairness, I think how cool it would be to be putting on the jersey. You're at an NFL team. Playing for the Niners.
Make a play.
Crushing this dude at the line of scrimmage.
Absolutely.
We're not allowed to do press.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's their second best defensive back right now, you know?
Yeah, and they miss Hufanga.
They miss Hufanga,
really,
which...
Not really hitting anyone right now.
Which I was going to... I mean, Gibson did get the fumble, and I was going to say to you when you were talking about blaming players and versus coaches, I blame the coaches after I saw Steve Wilks do an interview with Mayoko, and he said, yeah, we just know 2-6 can be a little loose with the ball. Like, their game plan was, we think we can get Gibbs to fumble. That was part of the Niners defensive game plan. So, like, if you're the Lions,
they can't catch him.
Yeah. So if you're the Lions, you know, maybe you put David Montgomery in that spot, but I blame the coaches. And that's an example to me of like, blame the coach a little more maybe than the player.
I forgot. I have a hard time, you know, blaming a rookie running back who's fucking been incredible. Also,
with the momentum reigning, you know, completely changed.
Well, you know, Dave Forrest and Billy would tell you that doesn't exist.
Yeah, well, whatever it is, I mean, the players.
How are they still on that ledge?
Believe in it.
Everyone believe it's just, it's correct. Like, there is anyone ever been to a game? Like, how could they believe so deep in their core that nothing exists emotionally?
You know, I don't think they do, though, because I think they kind of acknowledged after they traded Cespedes, we're going to do Ace Talk, that it
no, I'm doing the they are just the symbol for the leading of the movement.
I think if we had David here right now, he actually would not. He would say, no, I do understand.
They're actually a bad example because when they're good, their teams are usually like high character, like cool guy. Like
they're kind of swaggy.
They factor in stuff. I think Maury and some of those guys are better that like, yeah, I mean, the percentage is 27 straight threes. If we did that 100 times, only one out of 99 would we not make one. And it's like, yeah, we had the percentages on our side. We do not. It's like they do the Kyle. Like, no, we didn't screw up. We do it.
It's
again.
A trophy you get that says the percentages says we were right.
Now, yeah, I don't think the weird part is everyone saying that momentum doesn't exist. Dan Campbell isn't thinking like Dan Campbell knows if I don't get this fourth down and I don't kick the field goal here and they get the ball back and they go score to make it 24-14, or I guess they had a 10, so 24-17. I got a problem on my hands. Like, he's not. You know, it's like the argument is on the exterior of all this stuff, but it's not like the Lions are being like, we don't believe momentum exists. We did this. Like, no, he's not saying that.
No, Dan knows before he makes the decision, this could cost me the game if it fails. He knows that. And he's saying, fuck it. Which I'm good with that.
Not only fuck it, like, this is what we do. And we've had so many times when we get it and we take all that momentum and take a giant dump on it and we've ruined everybody. Because if they got it, he would say the momentum of the crowd is dead.
Yeah.
but it's a swing. It's a swing Which moment.
Kawakami's talked and written about this a lot in the last week. Like Kyle's thing is, I'm not trying to end the game early. If you try to end the game early, you might knock yourself out. Right. And that was an example of that.
Kyle's not built for shootouts. In the sense of his mind doesn't work like that, and sometimes it's too late. That's why I think sometimes that record of not coming back, he's like playing this long, slow game. It's like this right. slow hike on snowshoes where you can't really walk fast. He knows he's going to summit, but he would never try really hard, really early.
Tortoise yeah. in the hair. He's the tortoise.
And it's worked for him a lot.
Hey, he's a tortoise who leads the league in scoring most years.
I do believe as long as he's got this quarterback on the rookie contract and his team is relatively, you know, one of the most talented teams, you can operate like that. You can't operate like that as your team becomes less talented. And this is where the pressure goes on your quarterback. Like the Bills can't think like that, right? I mean, a lot of right. teams, they, right. he can't sustain this. You know, I think Saban has kind of had that over the years.
It's what really makes Harbaugh to the Chargers interesting. It's because he's got a quarterback that doesn't have to play that way with a coach that does play that way. Like, we don't need you to throw 43 times, but boy, when we need you to make four special plays, our guy's got it in the bag. I think that's... It's why the Chiefs, without great...
It felt like he let JJ do it a little more.
Yeah, he evolved a little bit, but still, I mean, I think it's fundamental to who he is.
I'd say Herbert's a little better than JJ.
You probably can't even see this. I don't know. Our buddy Jeff Schwartz just sent us this. Oh, you can't see it on the screen if you're watching. I'll read it for those listening to the podcast. Worst first half differential in the playoffs leading up to a Super Bowl appearance in NFL history. The worst is the 94 Chargers, who went on to get blown out by the 49ers, as you put in our text thread. Steve Young threw 6 touchdowns, no picks. The second worst point differential in the playoffs entering the Super Bowl, your 2023-2024 San Francisco 49ers -16. All other teams on this list of 5 other teams with the worst point differentials in the playoffs leading to the Super Bowl lost the Super Bowl. And a few of them were close games.
Seattle was getting their ass kicked by Green Bay at home that had Aaron Rodgers, who had just won the MVP. I mean, that was a real opponent. I mean, they should have lost the game. I do think that 2014, though, was independently very good. This is where it's weird, right? You're like that Seattle team could play all these Super Bowl champs and Hank. Do we agree there?
Yep.
Because they had just won the Super Bowl. They were better that year. So the Charger team clearly is one of the all-time frauds in Super Bowl history. I would say the Bills team, super young here, pretty sure like they were pretty good. Like those Bills teams, I know they didn't win one. I think they've aged where everyone goes. They were a really good operation for 3 or 4 years. Now, I don't know where that 92 team ranks on the whatever of all their group of teams. The 12 Niners are a good example of, I'm pretty sure they were down 14-0 pretty quickly in that Atlanta Falcons game. Julio Jones scored a touchdown early. I forget who they played.
You're talking about which team?
I'm talking about the 2012 -7 49er team.
Yeah, 17, I think.
What?
I think it was 17.
17-0?
I think it was 17-0.
Yeah, but they had beat the Packers the week before, right, in the second round, where Colin ran all over the place to get to that game.
Yeah, 17-0.
At halftime?
I don't know the halftime score, but they were down 17-0.
They were down 7, you know, but they were beating the Packers, so it was basically just that Falcons game. Numbers kind of, I don't want to say skewed because
Falcons game, they were down 17-0. Like the Falcons scored a touchdown to start the second quarter. Yeah. So it was 17-0 then. It was 17-7 at the half. No. It was 24-14 at the half. Jesus, that game was a shootout in the second quarter.
So just got to hope the Niners.
Well, the question is, does this mean anything to you? I don't, this does not mean a lot to me.
They have not been playing well. Are we agreeing there? Like the last 2 weeks.
They were the better team in the regular season. The Chiefs have looked like the better team in the playoffs. The 49ers are playing, almost feels like their second worst stretch of the year
Yeah.
in the postseason. Yeah, they're not their best right now. or haven't looked like it. But then they've also been in positions that they weren't in during the year. And, you know, what they did against the Lions in the second half was pretty good. Was actually,
yeah, I mean, actually, they've had battled through adversity. But I do think for a team that's going to the Super Bowl that was the number one seed and had a 700-point differential, and everyone said throughout the season they were the arguably the best team, it just makes you a little nervous what you've witnessed the last 2 weeks, because now you're facing a much more accomplished operation who's not as explosive as these other teams. So, like, some of the things that were hampering you, it's like, they don't, you know, they're not quite as good on offense, and Travis is getting old, and but I do, it's hard to shake the last two. Like, it'd be hard for me. If I felt good about this, I would put an astronomical amount of money on the 49ers. It's hard for me to do that right now, just because my confidence level, even though I kind of think they're going to win, but I'm not
confident. You'd be kicking yourself if they came out and looked bad.
Yeah, because it's like we've just seen, or not even look bad, but just have just still been a little off. Like, I would expect them after 2 weeks, the Super Bowl, to be a little more buttoned up than the last 2 weeks to start games. But I'm not as confident they're just going to roll like they do, like they have throughout the season, because they have not. And part of it is, like, it's a lot of pressure playing big time teams. It's hard. So if you're a little off, it gets exploited even more. The way they're playing, if this was the regular season, it might not have been as eye opening, maybe.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. You just go, hey, this is, you just got to win games, and you know, you, especially if it's like, all right, they're 5-2, they're 6-2, they're 7-2, right? Different in the playoffs when extinction is on the line every week.
I do think when your defense is like watching a baseball team that just like, God, they, no pitcher can get an out. Everyone's balls off the wall, balls over the wall, dudes all over the base pass. It's like our pitchers suck. When your defense, like that, the night against Kirk Cousins, the game against Joe Burrow, these last couple weeks, it's like, what is going on? It's, I'd say it's like equally deflating. When you can't get anyone out in baseball, your pitching staff, your bullpen sucks, and when your defense just gives up, it feels like anything they're going to call has a chance to work. And when your offense isn't humming, it's a deflating feeling watching a team that way.
It's true. Now, against the Packers, they were very good in the red zone. Against the Lions, they got, now Josh Reynolds dropped the ball, but they got some key stops. And, you know, that's kind of like, okay, your closer gets a couple strikeouts here with the bases loaded. And you wonder, can we sustain, you know, like this?
The Ravens defense is a lot better right now than the 49ers.
I think it's better than the Chiefs defense too, though.
Yes, the best defense. It's the best. They tackle. Defense. You know, so the Chiefs offense is not good relative to what they've been. Like, this is not as good of an offense as these last two offenses you faced, especially the Lions, who, I mean, you could argue it just feels like one of the best, obviously statistically they are, but like legitimately one of the best offenses. They got it all. I mean, part of the problem with the 49ers, like, yeah, their offensive line beside Trent's got some issues. Like, you don't really feel that way with the Lions.
No, but they've got it all except a plus. Like, Jared's very good, but he could not overcome some of the things that happened late in that game that created, he had a drop, but he missed throws, right? Like, I think Jared is the thing that keeps that offense from being a complete championship offense, even though he's a top 15.
But Purdy misses throws.
Yeah, Purdy misses throws too. There's no question. But in crunch time, he made a bunch of throws.
And he can run.
Goff did not. And it was, I think, as crazy as it sounds, because him running is not part of his thing. But think about, like, Josh Allen. Think about Mahomes. For all the great throws they make, some of their best highlights are runs. Like, the moments when you watch Mahomes, you go, holy shit, it's a run. Josh Allen has definitely had that multiple times in the playoffs. I think Purdy's most special moments, if they win the Super Bowl, I think his runs from that game against the Lions will go down as some of the season highlights, which it's like, well, you're not allowed to use that in the argument for he's a great quarterback, but I think it's actually going to, because it's just a special play. He made special plays, and I think he'll get the same way that happened with Lamar. If they'd won that game, I mean, Lamar made a couple of runs that were just, I mean, the throw to himself was a little goofy, but it was a great play by him. I mean, he beat the DB to the ball. He beat Justin Reed to the ball. It was up there for both of them. Lamar beat him to it.
Listen, how many quarterbacks would have physically been able to get to the ball?
Just get there, let alone
in the history of the NFL. Him, yeah, Kyler, Steve Young in 1984. I mean, it's a short list.
I think Brock's runs,
Michael Vick,
elevated Brock. And just like if you were talking Purdy to a casual fan, you'd be like, what'd you say?
Could Purdy get there?
Oh, Purdy. No, because that ball just goes like, I don't know. But anyway, I thought that was like, that'll be one of those runs with his sock torn. Like sometimes it's not about logic and the efficiency and the stats. And let's look at the box score. It's like, shit, that looked like a warrior in a haze of arrows making a play, which is, that's part of the legacy and the legend and all that shit. And, whatever you think, Cam, whatever you agree with Cam, you think Cam's an idiot, what you're in the middle. This dude is playing Patrick Mahomes for the Super Bowl. This franchise has not won a Super Bowl in 30 years. I mean, I think like if we look
at these guys are the defending champs.
These guys are the defending champs.
We don't really talk a lot. I don't hear a lot of people talking like the champs. It's kind of flying under the radar a little bit. Which is weird, which usually not the way it happens, but it is. Maybe everyone's numb to it. Like these are the defending champs.
I think everyone
also, when you went last, beat you in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I think everyone spent the regular season talking about them like they don't look like a championship team, and maybe that's why it wore off, but.
Well, 100%.
How about Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Shanahan trying to do what Ed McCaffrey and Mike Shanahan did? Like, I don't think that'll be a big story next week. That's pretty cool, man. Yeah, that's really cool. That's really cool.
I think the Niners are going to have more stories because now it's like less what's improbable of what the Chiefs are doing. Just keep winning. You know, you just kind of almost get numb to it. Like, of course they're back here. There'll be comparisons. Last time anyone went back to back was, you know, the Patriots and Brady and stuff like that. But we've kind of been talking with the Patriot connections with the Chiefs for a while now. The game even started before they won last year because it just feels like how many Super Bowls is this team going to win? Like 4 or 5? I think a lot of the stuff with the 49ers is going to be, you know, a lot of Kyle and Purdy is going to steal the, because it is more polarizing than like, how good can Mahomes and Andy be? Like, it's like, I don't know, pretty good. Like, there's more hypotheticals that are negative and positive at this point with the 49ers than with like, Andy is just incredible.
Niners have more to lose, feels like.
Chiefs really don't have much to lose.
I don't want to say they have more to gain also. I think they do, but like Mahomes getting to 3 is pretty special. But I do think they've got more to gain. Just you cross that threshold finally.
I think Kyle has way more to gain than Andy does have to gain being 3.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I was thinking too.
I do think Purdy, I mean, you go win a Super Bowl MVP. What if you throw 3 touchdowns, win a Super Bowl MVP? He's got a lot on the line. Because Niners, when you think about it, obviously Trent does, but he's going to be a Hall of Famer no matter what, and he made a ton of money. Like, Bosa hit the jackpot. Obviously, being a Super Bowl champion changed your career, but that's like icing on their cake. You work your entire career to do this. I'm not trying to diminish that, but no one's ever going to be like, yeah, Nick Bosa wasn't kind of overrated. Like, it's pretty established he's a really good player. Fred Warner, I mean, Debo, all these guys already got paid. They've already made a shitload of money. They're going to like Pro Bowls, all pros. They're all talked about like the best players in the league. You just add the jewelry. So no one, I'm a champion, which is a big deal. Post your career, you get introduced this Super Bowl champion, Fred Warner, this Super Bowl champion, Eric Armstead, this Super Bowl champion, Trent Williams, the Super Bowl champion, Christian McCaffrey. I do think like Brock Purdy can just kind of end like this Super Bowl champion, former Super Bowl MVP.
I still think for as much appreciation as we have for the Purdy story, we're still too close to it to really recognize how insane it is.
I think it's crazy.
I know we all think it's, you do too. But I just think like if you would describe this to us 3 years ago, I think you would think it's even crazier than it feels like it is right now. You know what I mean? The last pick of the draft. I think McCaffrey's got a lot to gain. I think running backs, when you look at history, like running backs with a ring are like pass rushers with a ring. He's a badass pass rusher. Running backs with a ring and quarterbacks with a ring. I think receivers it's the obvious kind of skill guys, but I think those positions really benefit because those are usually the ones that end up as like, well, I mean, you get some Super Bowl MVPs that play linebacker, but I think, Yeah, I think McCaffrey would. McCaffrey was on the Panthers and was going to have a nice career that would probably have been underappreciated. And now he's going to be, if he wins a championship, one of the best players of his era.
It's funny, like you look at the Super Bowl MVP odds, and obviously, you know, the quarterback's safest bet. It is hard to pick a night. Like you could, Debo and Christian McCaffrey, there's an easy path for both guys having it, right? Because Debo could have six receptions for 75 yards and a touchdown, and then take an end around for 50 yards and a touchdown. That if it's a 17-17 game, could end up being the game-winning score. And Christian McCaffrey could just end up with 120 yards and three touchdowns, right? So it's like, to me, those two guys, if Purdy doesn't win it, you probably, if you're going to sprinkle on it, like I would sprinkle on those two guys. Because right away in that game against the Lions, it's like, God, Debo's just going to accumulate a lot of stats in this game. And anytime he touches the ball and he has an explosive play, he's one broken tackle away from it going 50. And then if he accumulates the 6-7 receptions, the 5-6 carries, if two of those equal touchdowns and one of them, we've seen it before, is a wide receiver screen that he takes 60 yards. And if it happens in the second half, which we've also seen, that's like the swing touchdown, the backbreaker. You can see where he, like, it's almost impossible to take that away from Patrick. It's very possible for one of those two guys. Christian McCaffrey had 19 carries for 120 yards, two touchdowns, and four receptions for 40 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Don't you think he would get it?
Yeah. In that case? I think those are good. Kittle would not be a good pick, I don't think, in this game. They're going to need him to block. Hard for Ayuk. So, yeah, I like that pick. All right.
I guess, would have Bosa had, you know, like a four sack game? And a strip sack that led to it. You know, like I went to.
Well, yeah, now you're describing his best. Yeah. Yes.
Best game of his career.
Yes. Definitely, Joe. A strip sack. Post a touchdown. All right. On that note, anything else to add?
Nope.
Okay. Thanks for hanging, everybody. Later.
Later.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.